Right, good evening. We are looking at it's Parshat Emor, and we're also approaching Lag BaOmer, which is going to be Saturday night, Sunday. And so therefore, I've chosen a maimer which the Rebbe said on Lag BaOmer in Tavshin Yud Aleph in 1951. So that's actually shortly after he accepted the position of being Rebbe. It was among the first few of his discourses. Now, it relates to the verse that we have over here, Usafatim Lachem. We can just look at that briefly in context, that if you turn over the page, you look at the beginning of this chapter 23 of Emor. First of all, it tells us about Shabbat. This is the section of the Torah which goes through a list of the festivals. First it tells us about Shabbat, then it tells us about Pesach, then comes a passage about the Omer, the offering of the Omer, which is there, verse 9. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Daber b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'amat aleihem, and say to them, Ki tavo el ha'aretz asher ani noten lachem, when you come to the land which I'm giving to you, uktzartem et k'tzira, and you harvest.
Sorry, which verse are you
on? I'm looking at verse 10 now. Verse 10 in the Torah, right? Of chapter 23. It's two lines from the bottom. Uktzartem et k'tzira, you should, when you harvest the harvest, then vahavetem et omer reshit k'tzirchem el ha'kohen, you should bring an omer, which is a measure, a tenth of an ephah, as it says over here, about 2 quarts, says our translator. 2 quarts, 4 quarts is a gallon, is that right?
Yes.
So it's like half a gallon in volume.
Yeah, so it would be about 2 liters, wouldn't it?
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So about 2 liters. 2 liters of barley, which is brought and which is actually right. So it's a flour offering, but it comes from barley flour. And you bring it to the Kohen, ve'hinifet ha'omer lefnei Hashem litzonchem, and he will wave the Omer before Hashem. That means in the temple, in front of the Mizbeach, in front of the altar, he will wave it as a way of expressing a dedication to God. Over the page, mimochalat ha'shabbat yinifenu ha'kohen. On the day after the Shabbat, the Kohen should wave it. Now, Eli knows that this word Shabbat was the source of a tremendous machloket, because the Tzdokim said it literally means Shabbat, and the Pchushim said it doesn't mean Shabbat, it means the festival, it means Pesach, the day after the first day of Pesach. And as a result of this was a dispute that went on for centuries and actually had quite wide-reaching effect. But so there it is. It's from the day after the festival, which is here called the Shabbat, the Kohen waves the Omer. Then it goes on and it speaks about various offerings which are brought at the same time. But if we go on to verse 15, which is the verse, the opening verse, as far as our discourse, our maimer is concerned. Usfatem lachem mimocharat ha'shabbat. You should count for yourself from the day after the festive day when the, in other words, from the day that the Omer was brought, which is the day after the Pesach festival, although it again calls it Shabbat, miyom haviyachem et Omer hatnufa, from the day that you bring the Omer which was waved, sheva Shabbatot tmimot tiyena, you should count 7 whole weeks, ad mimochrat haShabbat haShviit, till the day after the 7th week, tisburu 50 yom. So you count 49 days, and the next day is 50 days. And that is Shavuot. And then it tells us about, v'hikravtem mincha chadasha l'Hashem, then you offer a new offering to God. Now the offering that you bring, the new offering, is mimoshvotechem taviu, from your dwelling places and your fields, you should bring lechem tnufa shtayim, bring 2 loaves of bread to be waved. Shnei esronim solet tiyena chametz teafena. It's 2 loaves of wheat bread, chametz, which is chametz bread, which is brought to the temple, bikurim l'Hashem, and it is the first fruits to God. So in other words, you have the barley offering the day after Pesach. Then you count 7 weeks, and the next day, on the 50th day, it's Shavuot, and you bring a wheat offering. Now, it tells us, it actually said it earlier, we missed that verse, on verse 14, until the Omer has been offered, v'lechem b'kali v'chamel lo tochlu ad etzim ha'yom hazeh, till the Omer offering has been brought on the day after Pesach, one is not allowed to eat from the new crop. So one can't eat from the new crop until the Omer is brought on the 2nd day of Pesach. Then one can eat from the new crop, but one can't bring offerings to the temple from the new crop, flour offerings. But on Shavuot, then comes the first offering in the temple of the wheat, and from then on, all the new crop can be brought in the temple. So this is a sort of an agricultural dimension. Now, when we look at it in the Maimah, it is going to be speaking about it in terms of the spiritual service of the individual and of the Jewish people. And particularly, it is quoting a verse from the Song of Songs, Mashcheni acharecha narutza, draw me after you, we will run. And Heviyani Hamelech Hadarav, the king brings me into his bridal chamber. So we're talking about a process of the Jewish people as a whole, and in a sense the individual every year, leaving Egypt, leaving the negativity of Egypt, and striving to come close to Hashem, and finally coming into a kind of embrace with God at Shavuot, at the giving of the Torah. So,
can I just ask, before we get into the Maimon, as an aside, this business of Mimachrat HaShabbat, there must be an awful lot of discussion about why the Torah should have made it kind of vague.
Well, including in this discourse.
It
talks about that as well. Yeah.
It must be such a fundamental thing, because it caused a lot of trouble, didn't it? With the Tzidukim and everybody.
It did, yeah. You're right. And, you know, the discourse gives an explanation why it should use that word. Not why it should be vague, but why it uses that word, Mimochalat HaShabbat. So the day after the Shabbat. So maybe we'll get to that. Okay. We'll see. Oh, yamba, ya, yamba, ya, yo, yo, ya, ya, na, ya, na, yo, yambo, yamba, yamba, ya, ra, ya, ya, ram, ho, ya, ya, ha, ya, ya, yam, oh, ho, ya, ya, ram, ba, ya, ya, yo, ya, ya, ram, ba, yam, ba, yam, ha yiramba, yo yamba, yamba, yiramba. Ho ya yam ba yara lam bam. Ho yam bam bum yam bum bum. Usafatim lachem mimachrat haShabbat. And you should count for yourselves from the day after Shabbat. Miyom haviyachim et omer hatanufa. From the day that you brought the omer in the temple. The mitzvah tzvirat haomer, the mitzvah of counting the omer, hu acha havat omer hatnufa, is after bringing the omer which was waved in the temple. The betchila mitzvah havat haomer, first there's the bringing of the omer, v'acha kach mitzvah lemimni yomi, mitzvah lemimni shavui. Now the way the Talmud puts it, there's a mitzvah to count the days, 49 days, there's also a mitzvah to count the weeks. So, as we counted last night, for example, we said tonight is 28 days, which is 4 weeks of the Omer. So each time when we count the Omer, we mention how many weeks as well. In the course of the discourse, he comments on the difference between counting days and counting weeks. Shazer mitzvah tzvirat ha'omer, that is the mitzvah of counting the omer. And this is, the mitzvah of this is, as we know, hubein avad ha'omer vein chagashvot. It's between those two points, the bringing of the omer on the day after the first day of Pesach and the festival of Shavuot. Vezer omro svatim lachim miyom haviyachim et omer hatnufa. That's the reason for that verse. Shu'um imochrat ha-Pesach, which is the day after Pesach. Now, v'tzalich lavin. Now we have to understand, as David points out, ma'o omrom imochrat ha-Shabbat. Why does it say the day after Shabbat? V'havelei loma. It could have said, mimochrat ha-Pesach, the day after Pesach. U'bifrat sha'tztokim ta'u b'zeh, especially since the tztokim erred in this. Va'amru, and they said kavana b'mashikatum imochrat haShabbat. They said that what is meant by saying the day after Shabbat, who imochrat Shabbat bereshit, it means the day after the seventh day of the week, Shabbat, the Sabbath. Ad shitzlichu liidvakeach imayim, there had to be arguments with them, lahavir ayot, and people had to bring proofs shakavanahi imochrat haPesach, that really it means the day after the Pesach, and there were quite far-reaching effects of these arguments, which are not mentioned here. But tzalich lo'avin, we have to understand that v'cho'ola havelei lomar beferush. Surely it should have just said clearly, mimochrat ha-Pesach, the day after Pesach. Ma umrom mimochrat ha-Shabbat, why is it saying the day after Shabbat? Okay. Yeah, the only thing is the answer comes quite far ahead in the discourse. So we'll see if we manage to skip hop, skip and jump and get there as well. Now, so first of all, the yuvanzer, this can be understood b'haktim tchila, by first considering inyan tzvirat ha'omer b'chlal. What is the whole idea of counting the omer? Dinei kol ha'menachot ba'ot min ha'chitin. Now, usually the meal offerings, the flour offerings that were brought in the temple, they come from wheat. V'zu, but this one, minchat knaot, the mincha, the flour offering brought with a sota, the woman who is suspected of infidelity. Her, which is discussed in Parshat Naso, and is the subject of a tractate of the Talmud called Sota, which has got 49 pages. And there's a custom to study Masechet Sota during the time of counting the Omer, one page per day. So that 49 pages of that Masechta are covered during the counting of the Omer. And there's some kind of relationship between the concept. Now, her, the Sota, the wife suspected of infidelity, her offering, and also Minchat HaOmer, the offering of the Omer, they both come in Hasorin of barley. Now, why is this? What is the concept of barley? Is that barley is in some way animal food. There's something, wheat is considered, you know, at a certain level, wheat is considered human food, and barley is in some sense animal food. Yes, chicken soup with barley, notwithstanding. But there, barley is a kind of decoration to the soup, but actually making bread out of barley, and that's, you know, that the, although of course in our modern gluten-free diets, barley might score quite well, I'm not sure. But there is this concept of the barley being animal food. And this relates to the whole concept of what we are trying to do during Sfirat HaOmer. Let's go just a few lines later to the line beginning Misorim Dafka. So the Minchat HaOmer is Dafka from barley. V'yudua hatam al zeh. And the reason for this is known. Dehine b'yom echad b'Pesach. Because on the first day of Pesach, Haya it aruta dile'ela mitzad atzmo, or mitzad atzma. There was an arousal from above, which came by itself. In other words, God made a step to us. He took us out of Egypt. Dezer dichtiv, that's what it's written. Behotziach et ha'am hazeh mimitzrayim. When you, Moses, this is what Moses was told at the burning bush. When you take this people out of Egypt, ta'avdunet elokim elahar hazeh, you will serve God on this mountain. Haynu, that means, d'biyom echad d'Pesach hayayit orut milamayla lemata. On the first day of Pesach, there was the arousal from above to below. And eventually, there will be a response from the Jewish people that they will strive from their own selves, as it were, from below to above, and they will come to Mount Sinai, and there they will serve God. But that's when they will serve God, when they're taken out of Egypt, although in fact, there is discussion about this, and the very fact that they had the Paschal Lamb was really a step towards God, as was the fact that they had Brit Milah. So there are various ways in which they did make a step towards godliness. But in essence, going out of Egypt is seen as something from above, something from God. And then comes some kind of period of striving, which is the time which is during the Sfirat HaOmer. And then we come, and then we come, v'zeh dichtiv moshreini acharecha narutza. Now here's this verse from the Song of Songs. Draw me after me, narutza, we will run. Heviyani hamelech hadarav, the king brought me into his chamber. The Moshreini Kayala Giluim the Yetziat Mitzrayim. When it says draw me, it means the revelations of going out of Egypt. Shahaya Bederech Itaruta de Le'elo, which was an arousal from above. Shenigla Alem Melech Malchei Amlachim, that there was revealed to them God, King of Kings. The Mitzad Atzmo Hayu Meshukaim Bementet Shari Tuma. By in themselves, they were sunk in 49 gates of impurity. Elisha nigla them, but God was revealed to them, and that drew them out of Egypt. The Zel Moshcheni, and that's draw me. That's how God drew me, drew us, drew each of us as an individual. Milamayla lamatem, from above to below, God reached down and drew us out of Egypt. Vezel gamken omro Moshcheni. That's why it says Moshcheni l'shon yachid in the singular, draw me. L'yot shahagilui shalamaylo, because this revelation from above, pa'al hazaza, it affected rak b'nefesh elokit, only the divine soul. You see, here there's a sense that each individual is two qualities, the divine soul and the animal soul. But what happened in going out of Egypt was that only the divine soul was affected. There was an illumination from above, the divine soul got very excited, and we got out of Egypt. The animal soul had not been transformed. That's right.
Wouldn't the animal soul have been quite pleased as well? Because the body was being afflicted in Egypt, they were being enslaved, they were forced to work.
Yes,
it affected the animal
soul. It could well be. I mean, the animal soul agreed. Otherwise, it wouldn't have left.
Yeah.
So it didn't make a fuss. But it wasn't changed. It was just the same animal soul. You see, there's the concept that whatever we have within us in terms of these spiritual qualities and energies, they are somehow to be improved by us, by refined. I mean, the whole concept of refining, which is quite an interesting modernistic concept, refining.
Oh. Or silver, David.
Yeah. That's right.
David was speaking about silver. He's been refining silver.
Have you?
Using silver.
How interesting.
On the instruments.
Oh, beautiful.
Part of the instrument.
Beautiful. Well, I mean, refining silver is referred to a lot in the Torah. Kesef, mezukak. Yes, refined silver. So there's this concept of refining, but the animal soul was not refined through the process of coming out of Egypt. Sha'nefesh elokid dafka magish ba'gilui shelamayla. The divine soul only felt that revelation from above. Avol ha'nefesh ba'amit nishar b'mamado. But the animal soul remained where it was. And there's another verse describing the Jewish people leaving Egypt. Dzeo inyan ki barach ha'am. That's why it says the people fled. Shehabricha haita mitzad ha'nefesh ba'amit. The fleeing was because of the animal soul. In other words, they had to get out quickly before the animal soul complains. And so what are you doing? Going into the desert? Are you meshuggah? Following this chap Moses? At least here we might be suffering in slavery, but at least we're living in a civilized place.
שהבריחה היה מצד הנפש הבהמית.
כן.
שהבריחה הייתה על ידי הנפש הבהמית או מהנפש הבהמית?
I think because of the nefesh הבהמית. Not על ידי. It was because of the nefesh הבהמית they had to run away from Egypt. It's like a person is trying to force himself to do something good. You know, so he runs away. You know, the person trying to give up alcohol. So someone is offering him a drink and it's very tempting. You know, so he rushes away. He runs away from the situation. So I think that's what it means. Running away. The animal soul... וכמוש כתב רבינו, as Rabbi Shneur Zalman writes, דבחורה למה היה צריך להיות בדרך בליחה דווקא? Why did they have to flee from Egypt? וכי אילו אמרו לפרעה לשולחם לעולם לא היו משלחם, if they'd have just told Pharaoh to let them go, wouldn't he have let them go? אלא, but, להיות שהגילוי, page 54, להיות שהגילוי שלמעלה פעלה על הזזר רק בנפש הלקית, since the revelation from above had an effect only on the divine soul. And the animal soul, Nisha B'tokpo, was left with the same strength as before. Therefore, Mitzad HaNefesh HaBamit, Hu Tzach Liot Inyan HaChipazol U'Bricha. Because of the animal soul, they had to rush out. There had to be this rush. Before the animal soul, as I understand it, before the animal soul got in the way and would persuade them to stay there. So they had to rush him. All that happens with the going out of Egypt, since the revelation which got them out of Egypt was from above, they weren't vessels for this. You see, a person, when there's a revelation, if someone is a vessel for the revelation, the revelation can be absorbed and contained by the person, becomes part of his or her reality in life. But in this case, it's something that was beyond them in terms of their real lives. V'chein, hine agilui nigash rak b'nefesh elokit, and so it was only felt, the revelation was only felt by the divine soul, in the singular, d'zeh moshcheini l'shon yachid, and that's why it says, draw me, in the singular, after you. Aval achale agilui d'yitzit Mitzrayim. But after the revelation of the going out of Egypt, Hayai Nyan Sfirat HaOmer, then we have the concept of counting the Omer. Now that represents Avodah Milamata Lamaila, a service from below to above, transforming oneself, going through the seven Midot of the seven Sfirot, as they are in our own soul, in our own animal soul, and refining them, and changing them, and improving them. Sha'al Zehu Omer Nahutza, and that's why it says Nahutza. Now, Nahutza has two ways of being understood. One is that it's in the plural, and that's the animal soul and the divine soul. But first of all, the Maimah focuses on another aspect of this word. Nahutza means alleinlaufen, running by oneself. The Moshcheini, that's in Yiddish, yes? Alleinlaufen allein. We running by oneself. The Moshcheini, whom elamayla lamata. Draw me, which is above from below, is something that someone else is drawing me. Someone else is leading the person, is drawing them out. It's someone else's energy. Avol narutza. But when it says we will run, hu alein loifen, means we're going to run by ourselves. You know, these discourses were all said in Yiddish. They're transcribed in Hebrew, but the original oral text was in Yiddish. And that is running by oneself. That is the service from below to above. Since it's a service from below to above, therefore it relates also to the animal soul. That's why it's called it Lashon Rabbim in the plural. We will run. It affects also the animal soul. It's interesting. It also affects the divine soul, but it is involving the animal soul as well. Now, when it says we will run, it's an idea of really running. Now, we get that from the animal soul. You see, there's a positive dimension about the animal soul. Since the service is also from the animal soul, it's in a way of running with enthusiasm, with energy. Because the animal soul, anything the animal soul does, he's full of energy. For the animal soul, he runs, he's enthusiastic, he wants to do it. The animal soul doesn't just walk along slowly. We're seeing what kind of animal we are. There are animals that walk along slowly, and there are other animals, the only way they act is woof. So that's us. B'derech merutza. Kiyim b'derech merutza. The animal soul cannot go little by little by little. It has to run. Either it's completely apathetic to anything to do with godliness, or it gets excited and it runs. That's the animal soul. It's total apathy or really vigorously enthusiastic. Since this move towards godliness of the animal soul is running, the animal soul contributes this enthusiasm to the divine soul. Because the divine soul, which is so spiritual, is also a bit slow. It doesn't have the energy of the animal soul. You know, the divine soul is very refined. The nefesh elokit mitzadat zmoim bo'inyin merutza. The divine soul in itself is just, you know, it doesn't run. V'hamashicha shelo lelokut. True, the divine soul is drawn to godliness. But hu b'medida v'hagbala. It's limited. It's measured. So the divine soul in this image comes over, you know, sort of, the divine soul is very refined, you know, slow, graceful. The animal soul is full of energy. So what we get from the whole process is that the energy of the animal soul is transmitted to the divine soul. Aval al yedei hanefesh habahamit mitosef bo tosfat or. Extra radiance comes to the divine soul. Shenaseh bo inyan hamerutza. And therefore the divine soul also gets this enthusiasm, lemaila mimidido v'agbala, beyond limitations. Dezeh omro narutza loshon rabim. And that's why narutza is in the plural. We will run. Haynu shegam etzonef shelekit nase inin amarutza. Now, so there we have this thrust of what is happening in the counting of the Omer. And then the penultimate line in this paragraph, Shazer hachana, that's a preparation. Lahavyani amelech adarav, the king brings me into his chamber. Ha'inyan de matan Torah, which is the giving of the Torah, that through the avodah of Svirat HaOmer, in the way of below to above, we achieve this preparation for the giving of the Torah. Now, we're now going to discuss in the next paragraph the way in which this is affecting, the way the counting, the offering of the Omer and the counting of the Omer affects the person, the inner dimension of the person. Now, v'hine inyan ha'omer shu'avo dame lemata lemailam, the idea of the Omer, which is service from below to above, the avodah of the animal soul, there are two aspects to it. Bil ha'mochin de nefesh habahamit, the refining of the mind of the animal soul, ubiru hamidot devesh abamin, and the refining of the emotions of the animal soul. So there's mind and emotion. The shnei nyanim elu hem akravat haomer usfirat haomer. There's the offering of the omer that took place the day after Pesach in the temple. That offering in the temple is what refines the mind of the animal soul. You know, the offerings in the temple relate to the animal part of the person. That's why there were animal offerings. In this case, there was an animal offering as well, but the barley offering of the omer relates also because of the idea that barley is animal food. So it relates to the animal dimension of the person.
Sorry, Naftali, just a quick question. Were there specific numbers? So I was commenting, I made a comment to David, that there's, for example, it states in the Siddur that there are 14 yearling lambs that are sacrificed and 11 bullocks. What is the significance of these numbers?
Well, each, you know, there are commentaries which will explain the different numbers. You know, one of the most popular things about these numbers is that the number of bulls offered during Sukkot adds up to 70, representing the 70 nations of the world, because there is a sense in which on Sukkot, life force is being drawn through the Jewish people to the land of Israel, and from there to all the 70 nations of the world. So there is a correspondence made between the 70 bulls which are offered when you total it up for all the days of Sukkot with the nations of the world. So in each case, you know, there might be a commentary somewhere which explains it. So I don't know any particular explanation for the numbers in this particular case. So the offering of the Omer, this comes min hadagan. The Omer is a form of corn, it's barley, but that's a form of corn. And the corn, dagan in general, hu inyan mochin, relates to the mind. There's this image, the eina tinuk yodeh likhot abba ad sheyitom tam dagan, until the child eats grain food in some form, it doesn't know to call father. So you could do a test, you know, to see, you know, 100 babies and test their development. It's it's making a parallel between the intellectual development of the child, the beginning of speech,
and the food that,
and the food that it eats. So it's interesting, you know, whether you know how people would see this in terms of you know, quite likely it's you know, they match. The af shebechlalut hinei mincha to'om abba mimachu behema liyot she'inyan ha'om ha'avodet et b'nefsha ba'amid. Even though in general the offering of the omer is animal food, since we're talking about the service of the animal soul, nonetheless it comes from a form of corn which represents the mind, the mind of the animal soul. In the case of the animal soul, the mind relates to the emotions. And that's why the food, the corn, which the animal soul that we are expressing, representing the mind of the animal soul which we're offering, is an animal kind of food. It is barley. But that is just one stage of the process. The bringing of the offering in the temple, that's the connection of the mind. Va'acha hakravat ha'omer, yes, I'm skipping a line, after the bringing of the omer, hu inyan sfirat ha'omer. Then we have the counting. Now the counting, hu biru amidot denev shabamit, that's where we are trying to refine the emotions of the animal soul. The mitzvah lemimni yomi and mitzvah lemimni shvui, and then we have the idea of counting days and counting weeks.
Is the gun actually corn?
Corn, yeah, corn in a general sense. So it could be wheat corn or it could be barley corn. There are five kinds of grain in grown in Israel, which all have the status of corn, and if you make bread out of them, you make hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So there is wheat, barley, spelt, oats. Is it rye? Maybe. Yeah. So eretz chitas ora. So those. So they all count as corn, even though one is wheat and one is barley. Now, so therefore, we've got the connection of the mind on the day after Pesach, and then we have dealing with the emotions, which take 7 weeks. Now, taking 7 weeks, this Biruah of the Midot Bechlalut, a third line up from the bottom, Hinei ze eino maspik, it's not enough, sheyeh Biruah HaMidot Bechlalut, that we should sift the emotions in general. Refine the emotions in general. Kiyim habiru bepratiyot. We have to do it in particular, in detail. Haynu sheyeh habiru bechol midah midah bifnei atzmo. There has to be a process of refinement and of attention. Every single aspect of our emotional qualities. And even more, that the refinement has to be bepratei pratiyot, in real detail. That means, kol midah midah kmo shehi klula misheva. The way that each attribute, like chesed, for example, kindness. So it's not just a matter of kindness, us trying to refine the quality of kindness and love. We're now on page 55. The quality of kindness and love, which is within us. Because of course everything can have a positive expression or a negative expression. And so we're trying to see how. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. And because that is when we refine the attributes of our emotions in detail, then it's specifically the preparation for the giving of the Torah of coming into the king's chamber. Now, there is, he explains here, you see, there is a refinement which is in general, b'derech makif, in a general way, ve'einu nogeh lepoel, which doesn't affect practical action. The main thing is, aval ikar avodahu, avodah la'at la'at b'koach atzmo dafka. The main thing is that the service should be little by little with one's own power, not a general thing. He actually gives the image that one kind of transformation that we might be trying to achieve is the weeks, counting the weeks. And the weeks represent each midah, each attribute, chesed, kindness, severity, and so on. As they are beyond us as individuals, as they are in a sort of more ideal form, and that the week, by counting the week of the Omer, we are somehow affecting that attribute as it is in general. The problem with this being in general is that it's not actually us. It's not us ourselves. You know, and that's the quest that there should be in Pipikaran, that it should be our own gut self should be transformed through this process. And so that is what is meant by counting in detail. And now then there's a kind of a halachic discussion about what is the, now, in the time of the temple, counting the Omer was midoraita, was from the Torah. What about after the time of the temple? And he brings three opinions. One opinion is that when it's not the time of the temple, as at the moment, the, it's,
you can't do anything.
Just 1 second. Sorry.
Ellie, did you say you have to go?
Later.
Cool.
Quarter past.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One opinion is that the counting of the Omer is midoraita, even in a time of Galut, even when the temple doesn't stand. A second opinion is that in the time of Galut, counting the Omer is only midrabanan. Then there's a third opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbeinu Yerucham, who is a famous halachic scholar. Footnote 20 gives the source of this. He makes a distinction between counting the days and counting the weeks. Counting the days, he says, is also now from the Torah, and counting the weeks is only midrabanan. Now that's strange. Why should there be this distinction? But he explains that the counting of the days, that is the personal, the attempt to personally transform ourselves. That applies in every epoch. And so therefore, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, according to this halachic source, that is also something which applies during the time of exile. But counting the weeks, that doesn't relate to our own thought, speech, and action. You see that abbreviation? L'machshava dibur u'maaseh. So that doesn't apply to our thought, speech, and action. It's more something general. That, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, when it's a time of galut, that is only midrabanan. So, in other words, what we're trying to do is work on ourselves, on our seven attributes, and somehow try and work on them and transform them. And in the next section, he talks about the different aspects that there are in the attribute chesed. So there is the idea, and he actually explains them in a particularly quite distinctive way. Ubiya inyan, so let's see this. How does it work, the idea of each attribute being combined of seven different attributes? Chesed of chesed, severity of chesed, and so on. Let's take the midah of chesed, for example. Chesed of chesed is that when one sees the way someone is studying Torah and keeping mitzvot, learning Torah with Yirat Shema, yesh lo ahava elav, he feels love to him. Because of his love to God, automatically he loves a person who loves God. And therefore, because of his love to God, everything relating to Torah, mitzvot, he does them with zeal. That's love of love. That's the quality, chesed of chesed. What is gvura of chesed, severity in chesed? It's that his love to God expresses itself on the other level. Because of his love to God, he hates those who are opposed to God. Some people like to love, others like to hate. So he is full of anger against those who are the opponents of God. What is tiferet of chesed? That's the hitpa'arut, the boasting, the feeling of grandeur, that when he sees that someone is learning Torah with a geshmak, enjoying it, and keeping mitzvah with a geshmak, enjoying it, he exclaims, "Hu mitpa'er la yofi shebetorah mitzvah." He declares what a tremendous beauty there is in Torah mitzvah. Oy vifil Torah can poil, and how much Torah can have an effect. All this is the main midot of chesed. Now the main midot, chesed, gvura, tiferet, that means kindness, severity, and tiferet, beauty. Those are the three main midot, the three main attributes. Then we have the secondary attribute. And so it works there as well. The secondary attributes are netzach. Netzach, victory of chesed. That's because of his love to God. When there are things preventing him and getting in the way, obstacles, he fights with those things preventing. He fights against them, and that is victory of chesed. And even more, there might be a problem from the outside, but then there's the feeling within. There's his struggle within himself. And he feels he can't fight against these opponents anymore, because within himself. So then he arouses himself. Because of his love of God, he is going to work on himself. He's going to menatzeich et atzmo. He will conquer himself to remove those obstacles, and that is hod shebechesed. So hod shebechesed is another level. There's the victory, which means fighting against something outside, and there's also the struggle that takes place inside. And then there's yusod, dedication of chesed. What's that? The gam kashem itzad ezetam einu mashicha l'torah mitzvah. It could be that at a particular moment he's not drawn to Torah mitzvah. Nonetheless, because of his love to God, he joins himself with all aspects of his soul until he arouses a desire for Torah mitzvah, until all his thought, speech, and action is only about Torah mitzvah, which finally that is malchut of chesed, thought, speech, and action. So he's gone down the different levels. Let's just see if we can remember them. Chesed is that because of his love for God, we're starting off with chesed, which is love of God. So because of his love of God, he feels love to someone who expresses that love of God in some way. And because of severity of chesed, he feels anger against someone who is somehow negative about God. Yeah. Then there's tiferet, which because of seeing the beauty of Torah study and mitzvah, he declares Hitpa'arut, he exclaims and declares how wonderful it is. Then comes fighting against the obstacles in the way of studying of Torah, and the obstacles outside, which is Netzach, and there's the obstacles inside, which is Hod. And then there's another dimension that he himself feels apathetic, and he works himself up into a feeling of love, that's Yesod, and as a result, his mind, his thought, speech, and action are dedicated to godliness and become an expression of love of God, and that is Malchut. Okay, so he's taken us through these seven midot of Malchut, seven midot, all in the divine soul. This is all the way the divine soul feels, because it's the divine soul which loves God and loves Torah, and so this path is the seven midot of the seven aspects of chesed in the divine soul. Now the next paragraph is about seven aspects of chesed in the animal soul. Let's have a look at that. Right? Now there's the opposite. Just as there is the divine soul, so there is also in the animal soul that each aspect is combined seven, and as it was with chesed. Now, chesed of chesed for the animal soul is that his love for physical things expresses itself in an open desire for gashmiut, for physicality, materiality. It's a clear, open expression of his love for some kind of material thing. The latest computer, all kinds of things. Or is that a bit cerebral? Is a computer a physical type or a cerebral type? So that's his desire for physicality. Severity of chesed is that because he loves these physical things so much, he hates anything that prevents him from getting that. That when someone says to him, why should you, it says in Yiddish, wie passt es für dir, liegen wir in Yonim, Bahamim, Sheinim, Lefimailas, Odom. If someone says to him, what are you doing, being involved with these really animal forms of behavior, they're trying to put him on the right way. Yeah, the rabbi is telling him off for doing something rather naughty. He hates the rabbi. That's gevura shel chesed. He hates, the effect is he hates the person who's rebuking him. Tiferet of chesed is not only does he love these physical things so much, but even more, ebarimtzich, he boasts about it, and kochtzich, and he keeps talking about it, that he loves these physical things. That's tiferet of chesed.
This is all on the negative side, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seven on the positive and seven on the
negative. Yeah, yeah. And we, during the counting of the Omer, we have to work on those different dimensions and try and see, you know, where increasing the positive, and when we see the negative, trying to...
And today is the what of what?
Today was Malchut of Netzach. Yeah, Tuesday is Malchut of Netzach. So that means the idea that victoriousness should be brought into our thought, speech, and action in all the positive dimensions of victoriousness, that as he described, that if there is something preventing us in service of God, we should overcome that obstacle, and which includes also dealing within ourselves. So that's and the coming week is going to be Hod. It's going to be the quality of Hod. Now Hod is an interesting attribute, which one way of understanding it, as explained in other discourses, is and also here he comes onto it as well. Here he comes onto it in a particularly significant way. So I'm not going to blur that. We'll wait till he comes to it. He's going to talk about Hod. Now, and then you have Netzach of Chesed, that even if this person is very much drawn to physical things, as we've seen. However, at this moment, for some reason, he doesn't feel drawn to them so much. Im will sich nicht. He doesn't want it. Yeah, at this moment, he doesn't want it. But you know what he does? He forces himself to want it. And there's something or other, you know, he loves eating. And at this moment, he's not hungry, but he forces himself, he's going to eat. Like the Romans, they would vomit in order to be able to eat more. They would gorge themselves on these, lox tongues, or, you know, some tremendous Roman delicacy which, you know, needed killing of hundreds of birds in order for them to eat it. But they, if they were full, they would make themselves vomit so that they would want more. So it's such a desire to satisfy his desires that even when he doesn't feel the desire, he makes himself want. And that's Netzach of Chesed. And even when people are putting him to shame. What?
Of Machen Atzuke.
Yeah, that's right. Of Machen Atzuke, yes. He forces himself of Machen Atzuke that he should feel this desire. And then people say to him, Reuvi Ayid, Aben Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, look at that, a Jew, a son of Avram, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ligdin in Yanim Bahamim, he's involved in such animal things, and even forbidden things. He fights against this, that they shouldn't disturb his desire. And that is Hoid Shebechesed. Now, so in other words, Hoid is a really lower. It's like taking everything to a lower level. In this discourse, Hoid takes everything to a lower level. And his desire is so great, he comes to total dedication and devotion to this desire, which is Yesod Shebechesed. And Yesod means dedication, bonding. Until his machshava dibur maaseh, his thought, speech, and action is all about material things, and thus he goes lower and lower, midechi el dechi, ad sheba lichlal dvarim asurim, till he comes to forbidden things, God forbid, shezeh inyan malchut shebechesed, which is malchut of chesed on the negative side. His love for physicality and materiality taking him right down in the lowest way. And that's what it means. You should count. Now, Sfatim Lechem means, Sfatim Lechem is like a sapphire, sapir, the idea of making something bright. That's one of the ways this word is understood, which is the refining of the midot, so that one should, there should be a completely purer dimension and a positive dimension. Now, if we go to the penultimate line on this page, 56, we come to the idea of Mocharat HaShabbat. The power for this, the power for us to be able to purify these negative dimensions, comes from the day after Shabbat. Now, you see, there is the idea of going out of Egypt. Before the Sfirat HaOmer, there's going out of Egypt. And that was a great revelation. But the point is that we have to achieve something more than just the going out of Egypt. And in order to achieve that something more, we have to reach to a higher dimension. And the image is that Shabbat is very exalted. But Shabbat is within the Hekef, within the cycle of seven, which is within Hishtal Shalut. In order for us to get the energy, which so that we can transform the negative qualities which were just described, we have to go L'mocharat HaShabbat, the day after Shabbat. In other words, transcending Shabbat. Shabbat is the level of seven, the level of Ishtal Shalut, even though Shabbat is the most refined, But we have to go to a level beyond that. And it's when we reach that level beyond, then we've got the power to transform all these qualities within ourselves. So in other words, the reason why the Torah says Mimocharet HaShabbat instead of Mimocharet HaPesach is because it is hinting that the energy that we need to take in order to approach this whole process of transformation during the counting of the Omer is something which comes from a level beyond Ishtashalut, Mocharet HaShabbat, the day after Shabbat, the day beyond Shabbat, the level beyond Shabbat. So that's why it uses that term instead of saying the day after Pesach. Because if it just said that, it would be telling us which day it is. But it wouldn't be giving us the idea of this extra illumination which is required. And so it's by taking that extra illumination, that's how we're able to reach up to the highest level. And then we come down to the lowest level. If we look at the bottom of this page 57, that's the idea of Lag V'Omer. That's how Vazel, that's the Shaykhut, that's the relationship of Lag V'Omer to the service of counting the Omer. Because Lag V'Omer, the 33rd day of the Omer, next Sunday, is Hod Shebahod. Now the way that he's explained Hod, Hoda'ah in general is like to admit something. You admit, even though you don't understand. And that's what it means, hoda'ah, whether one understands or whether one doesn't understand, one says, all right, I accept. Knowledge. I accept, acknowledge, that's hoda'ah. But then in hod itself, there are two levels. And you could have a very wise scholar, page 58, He's a wise scholar, and someone else who is a smaller scholar, he doesn't really agree, he can't understand quite what the wise scholar is saying. But because he's also a scholar, he can understand that, it's a bit too complicated. You know, he knows A-level mathematics, and the other guy has got a PhD in mathematics, and so he can appreciate that. He doesn't really understand what he's saying, so he says, all right, you're saying this formula, whatever it is, okay, I accept what you're saying. That's hod. But then there's another level, there's hod shabahod. Hod shabahod is someone who doesn't know what 4 times 5 is. He doesn't know anything. So to him, this whole mathematical thing, it's not that he doesn't understand it. He doesn't relate to it at all. It's completely beyond him. Absolutely, you know, it's not the, oh well, I never learned exponential functions or something like that. This is completely out of his realm. And that's the Ish Pashut. That's the completely simple person who is on the level of Hod Shabahod. That's the simplest and lowest level. As we saw before, that Hod of Chesed was like really going down to the lowest level. So the point about Lag Ba'omer, Lag Ba'omer is where one reaches to a higher level, the highest level of radiance, which then has the power to transform the lowest level of manifestation. And so in our life.
Shebahod is the lowest level as well.
It's the lowest level, and in order to transform that lowest level, we reach to the highest. We reach to the highest level. And that's the power of Lag Ba'omer, because Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he was able to connect the most exalted heights with the most utter depths. And so that is the concept of Lag Ba'Omer and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And therefore, this is the real power that we have during Sefirot HaOmer in order to prepare for being brought into the chamber of the king, which will be with the giving of the Torah. So that's basically this discourse, which we completed before 10:50.
Right. So the Shabbat aspect of this Mimachot HaShabbat, because there's a higher dimension of Shabbat.
Higher than, yeah.
So Shabbat represents a higher than the normal physical, and that's what they want to say.
Shabbat represents the highest of the normal cycle, of Hishtalshalut, of the downchaining of the worlds, the number 7. And this is Mimochalat HaShabbat, the day beyond that. It comes from a level beyond. And that's why on that day, one brings the Omer, which transforms the mind of the animal soul. That's reaching from an exalted height, which affects the mind of the animal soul, refining that, and then step by step refining every other aspect.